the last meeting, our last meeting that we are taking for the year. There is lunch, I'm not sure where it is. Yeah. Of course, we want to be treated with lunch. Sit it down. The exercise that we're going to be engaged in is really going to take us to a point where next year the intention, you know, it's January beginning sometime, we still have to work on the dates where we get together with the department and really hammer a program for the year. The intention it is to get into such a session and tease out agriculture and be able to get a sense as to what is it that we want to achieve. Yes, you have your strat plans. There's no question. We also did present, which was adopted, our own strat plan. But the manner and the extent in which things have been happening, it really warrants all of us to get to sit down together and get, you know, a real sense of, you know, where do you want to go? Both in agriculture and also in forestry and also in fisheries. Maybe before even your own Lakota cabinet or department. So that's one of the other things that, and as a result of that, you know, our plan for the year will undoubtedly emanate out of that same process. I tell you that we are agreed on that process, members, because it's of no use for us to sit down here and, you know, dump some a few issues, and only plan as time goes in the year. We keep on scheduling and working at cross purposes, which often is the case. You know. But those are the details that we'll get into. We have a few apologies. What a call from Mrs. Carter. I also have written apologies from Inkosi Tebekulu, Mama Pilus Maswane, and Baba Tele, and Tisitelo. That's a standing appointment. I mean, what do you call this?
Apology.
You know, we've never seen her. Yeah. I've never seen her personally. But I guess she has a decent sense of submitting apologies. Maybe that's why, that's one way of covering herself. Maybe the party she belongs to has got other priorities. The other day I saw that the apology she has to attend, you know, a committee on women, people living with disabilities and children committee. I guess that's a priority for UCDP. If there is nothing else before we start, members, we should just shoot straight to the issues. The first area that we're going to be getting into is the one on the report, and then quickly then do the minutes later on. Okay. What we shall do, we also raised a matter yesterday about how brief and how summarized, you know, are the responses from the department. We hope that I see here we have heard, you know, some of these responses in detail. I think we did go through those ourselves. Let's get
Thank you, Chair, and also good morning to the members. What we have done on the document that we have distributed yesterday is the same document, but we've just branded the document and the number of the pages. And then the other thing that we have done, I think there were one or two other areas where we have managed to put some substantive matters on it, not much. And then we also very quickly, what we could, put a couple of documents, some of which we have used when we were summarizing to this document. So together with that report, we have attached the documents. There's one that deals with the status of the ban of the fresh fruits historically exported from South Africa to the Kingdom of Thailand. So we have put a detailed report on that one. And then the other one that we have put is the agricultural tariff policy for South Africa. And then we have attached the policy itself, which is a draft. And then the other one is the policy for the development of sustainable wildlife ranching sector in South Africa. So those are the ones that we have attached, which have got a lot of information on them. Thank you, Chair.
If I were just to, you know, kickstart the process, one of the on the 15th of February minutes, one of the issues that is being raised here talks to the extension officers. The concern has more to do with the effectiveness of these extension officers, to an extent that a number of questions are raised as to the type of training and also how these also could be extended to other sectors, that is not forestry and fisheries. I see the feedback here talking about training, and then I've actually underlined short skills training courses that would be short term type, 6 months, 3 months type thing, I would imagine. We went to Kamata and we saw these houses dilapidated, and we asked that specific question as to who is supposed to be stationed in these houses. And we were informed that those are houses that were initially meant to be housing your extension officers. And I subsequently called the HOD in the province, asking them about those houses and their state. And the typical bureaucratic, response that I got as Department of Public Works, yes, we owners, but delegated responsibility is with the Department of Agriculture. We have nothing to do with it. Agriculture Department has everything and everything to do. Obviously, this talks to the provincial Department of Agriculture. But for me, this is one department, whether it's province or national. Now, these are houses that have since been dilapidated. Quite beautiful structures, I must tell. But doing absolutely nothing. This is just one example at Kamata. I don't know what is going on elsewhere. Now, these are the kind of experiences that also prompted us to do an oversight, the study tour on the effectiveness of some of these extension officers elsewhere, wherein we are able to really learn best practices from.
Yeah, if I could maybe also just add a few issues on extensions, because I think that is actually very, very important, and one of the reasons why we cannot farmers properly on the ground. The only means of interaction that they have and guidance that they get is through the extension offices. And my worry is, firstly, we know that they are placed locally, under local supervision of the local Department of Agriculture's district offices. But I'm worried about the reporting and management. That's the first thing that I want to maybe ask. What lines of reporting and management have we got to make sure that those people are really on the ground doing a job? I've got some practical experience when I was on the ground managing the provincial union. That, you know, most of the time those people sit in those areas, maybe in an office far away from their regional office, but there's no control, no reporting system that you can be assured that they really are taking care of what they need to. So I would like to maybe just find out, has that improved? Because I believe at one stage they were going to be supplied with computers to have a communication system with whoever they need to call report to. The other thing that I wanted last time already is the qualification standards of these people. You know, to be in a position to give advice to farmers on the ground, they need to have some skills themselves that is not questionable. And I wonder if we get the right qualification people or the proper qualified people to be employed in this specific sector. You know, to have to run a few short skills training courses, I really don't think that is it can be helpful, but that's not really the solution to the problem. If I can just give an example of what we have done in some of the provinces. In Mpumalanga, for instance, where I worked, there we got training facilities for people obviously in the colleges, and I think that should be a requirement that they at least have a qualification required through attending a agricultural college, so that they at least have some experience. And then we have further education through training institutions, and also, but most importantly, the practical side of it. What they then do is we try to institute a learnership type of a situation where people can go on farms, big farms, companies, and work in practice so that they can understand the situation before they go out and advise some other people. So my whole argument around the improvement, and that is actually what I'm trying to say, is that if we want to improve the system of extension offices, we will really have to get them to have practical experience also. So my question is just, are we attending to these issues, and how far are we getting to solve the problem of really getting qualified people on the ground?
Thank you, Chairperson. I concur, and I think we've mentioned also that that if we're going to broaden this extension officer scope of it, we'll have to possibly look at connecting them to the co-ops and other structures. We've mentioned it last time. I think really we should think seriously about where we're going with farming or agriculture in this country. And that's what brings me to the next point, which directly touches onto this one. And that is, I also said in the previous meeting that if we transform without increasing our output, our production output and our profitability, if we cannot transform with that in mind, we are going nowhere. We're rolling the one guy in, or 10 guys in and one guy out, or we having partnerships and but we're not producing. It's just one farm being transformed, whether it's in a share scheme or whether it's a buyout. The fact is, if we've produced X amount of produce from that farm, it's not going to increase. It's either going to be the same or taking a little bit of dip. So we're not solving the long-term food security situation here. Okay. So that that now, how are we going to do that now? Now, you've got the extension officers currently. If we keep the status quo like it is now, and we say, okay, we roll one in and one out, and we keep on the same production levels, then already we face a problem, a major problem with this, okay? So we have a suggestion how we can solve that. But the thing we must look about here, at here is that are we not going to strategically have to think about getting areas that were communal land or communal trust lands, are we not going to develop those areas? Should we not think about rolling that out, transforming those areas from not exactly white-owned to black or co-owned or co-managed or run, but transform, truly transform that to unproductive to productive land? And that is a challenge. Now, once we get to that point, then we have a first step and say, okay, we're now transforming agriculture, but not from staying on the same level. We're now transforming to increasing. And all the other options of small farmers coming in, small farmings where the state buys up and where they, you know, the plans that we have here, so food banks, a whole lot. So now suddenly we go to a next step. Now that presents you with another challenge. Again, first money, training, more extension officers. You see? So before we can solve this problem that we're looking at now, somewhere we must have the guts, us in this committee, and sit down and talk strategically. Where are we going with agriculture in the next 50 years in this country? The rest of the world, for instance, Georgia, they, south of the Caucasus, you know where it is, in the east of the Black Sea. Georgia imports 75% of their food.
It's in the USSR.
No, Georgia, in the US.
USSR.
Yes, yes.
Soviet.
Previously Soviet state, yes, of course. Look, I've got nothing against the Soviet Union. I would actually love to have lived there and speak more about it.
Don't worry
about it. I know everything about it. Now, look. Yes, if I was there earlier, I would have had a better life. Look, the point is, this small country is currently importing 75% of their food. They've got a different system there. They've got small farmers, and they've got they want to commercialize and so forth. But the point is, here we must be very sharp. The point is, they want to transform their agriculture in 3 to 5 years to self-sufficiency. Now, I mean, that is a tough call. They are trying to get South African farmers there, like Zimbabwean African, South African farmers are elsewhere in Africa, Zambia, and so forth. But the point is, why do they want to transform their own agriculture in 3 to 5 years? That's their target, from 75% import to 100% self-sufficiency. Why? I ask you. I can tell you why. They know something that we don't know, or the world knows something that we're still contemplating, and that's going to be, I'll tell you what it is, it's going to be shortage, and it's going to be high prices. And they will not be able to import it, and other countries will not. I'm telling you, it's coming. So we must think strategically, and we must plan, and we must have the guts to talk about it. Otherwise, we are going to be deep in it. That's all I need to say. So now, the challenge is now, we are not going to do it without this extension officer. We're not going to do it. Let's face it. So it is a priority. Like we talked about the cattle farming, like we talked about the ABP, it's priorities. It's more and more priorities, Chairman. In this committee, it's becoming the most important committee. I'm telling you. There's no question about it. So this is a challenge that we must take up, we must think about it, and your extension office is another priority. If we don't do it, we cannot realize it. We will not be able to increase output, productivity, and profitability. And then it's really in the fan. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On the same issue, the report doesn't specify increase the extension worker passport. I mean in numbers now, especially with the extension of, with the incorporation of the Department of Forestry and Fisheries into agriculture. Thank you.
Just a quick one. what is meant by soft skills? Technical, maybe could be. I'm just trying to figure out in my own. I think the essence of what the members are saying is that work of an entrepreneur is fundamentally the key to growing agriculture. I think that that's the message that you know, we are getting to a point where even if you're going to talk about caste, to a point you are able to say you shall have grown this emerging farmer, you know, 5 years down the line, 100 of them being supported, we need to be able to say, through the work of these extension officers among us, 20 have since become part of the mainstream, so that we're able to measure in whatever outputs in your plans that you have.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and the members. To be very frank on this one, it is a challenge that has been sitting with us for some time. We've had a lot of complaints about the extension officers. The department, until the previous year, had not really engaged on the activities of extension, I mean the national department. It, most of the functions of extension were left with the province. It was only, I think, the last 2 years where the department began to engage seriously on the issues of extension. That's where this program of extension recovery plan came from, because the challenge that is there is the issue of capacity at the level of extension, combined maybe with the numbers. That has been the challenge most of the time. If I can go back a little bit, I won't take a long time. Dr. Mohajane will add, you will remember that the legacy of extension is that take us far back from 94, where you had your homeland extension people put together that came from a different training background, and the majority of which were people that had a 2-year diploma practice in extension, and those people were then brought in to become extension officers with very limited technical information. They were mostly trained in social interaction with very little technical, because they were generalists. They were not specific whether they were animals, whether they were crops, and so on and so on. So you have that kind of a situation, and a number of them also did not have a postgraduate qualification. They were by that time called assistants to extension, but they were eventually all pulled together to say they are extension officers. Now, the first thing that happened was to go into other countries and look what models of extension are there. You looked at African countries, we looked at other countries and we checked what are the options that were there. Because in other African countries we have some kind of extension that are not so qualified but very effective in terms of the work that they are doing. We looked at Kenya, we looked at Malawi and so on and so on. And we eventually came up with a decision to say there were three options, and the first option was rearrange the whole extension service. The second option was decentralize extension services or privatize it, like your sugar extension and so on and so on. And then the third option was nationalize the entire extension so that you have got a bigger control on it. So there were those options that were presented. And the University of Pretoria was actually requested to come up with a document they called Norms and Standards for Extension Services in South Africa, which was produced, which says what are the requirements for a person to go into extension and how do we deal with the current staff. The plan started in 2008-2009. And it was envisaged that by 2012, full implementation of that plan would have been done, which means that there are requirements. It prescribes requirements for a people to be called an extension officer in terms of qualification and in terms of registration. So we're saying by 2012, a person to practice as an extension officer has to be registered. There has to be a body where the person registers to qualify to do an extension work. It means there's a minimum qualification that was required for that person to go in there. And then money was made available to the provinces through the extension recovery plan to allow extension officers to do retraining. It means they got registered, those that had qualifications that were lower than a degree. A degree in this instance was meant to be a 4-year qualification so that they can upgrade between the period 2008-2009 until 2011-2012. So that was the time frame that was given, and money was allocated to the provinces to allow those who want to. There was no pressure, but people were advised that after a certain period, if you don't have those qualifications, you will not be recognized as an extension officer in the country. So that process is the one that is ongoing, is the one that we are reporting on. Over and above that training, we were then saying we will help the people in between to do training, short courses, so that we don't wait for 2012 and nothing's happening. So we're giving them short technical training, it means in animal husbandry, in crops, and so on, so that we assist them in the meantime. We also train them on soft skill, what we call soft skill. For an example, we had given these people computers. Some of them have never operated computers. We say, before you give them these things, you have to train them how to utilize them. Those are the ones that we call soft skills, like project management and so on. We call them soft skills because they are not technical in their nature. So we take them through training. We get accredited universities who are doing this kind of training. We don't just train them anyhow. We've got the University of Free State, we've got Pretoria, we've got a couple of them that are doing this training to these people, accredited training on this soft skill. So that is the arrangement that we are currently working on. Failing of which, we'll have to move to the next level. You'll realize that we are continuously receiving these blames that we are not effective in terms of extension. And everybody is beginning now to say, why don't you privatize extension? Why don't you privatize extension? Because it doesn't look like we are getting there. But we're saying, maybe come the time frame that we have put for ourselves, how many would have upgraded, how many would have improved, and how many are going to fall out this category? We also have We are having criticism on that, because by the time we arrive at the date that we have put ourselves, there's going to be a number of extension officers currently in the job who will not qualify to become extension officers, and what do you do with those that will not be qualifying? So we have to come up with a plan to say, those that don't qualify, how are we going to utilize them? What plan are we going to put in place? So we haven't as yet looked at that to say, how are we going to deal with the situation if some of them fall out and not qualify as extension people? So the norms and standard documents is there. It has been developed. We are currently implementing it. So in this report that we are giving here, we are saying these are the people from that plan that we have trained. About 748 are currently studying with higher institutions to improve their current qualification. Some of them had 2 years, some of them had 3 years. We also allow postgraduate. We also interacting with the Chinese also to upscale the numbers so that we are able to train even more, send them to China and some of them maybe to get money to be able to train them in the country. So those are the things that we are working on. So we are saying we have trained them on the soft skills, we have given them a computer program. Now, this computer program should assist or enhance them to be able to assist farmers. The computer, you can log in, it has all the crops. It has all the requirements in terms of management. It has almost everything that you need when you stand at on the farm. And the farmer asks you a question, what kind of fertilizer must I put when the soils are like this? You can log in and that thing can help you. It's going to be a live program that you can, even if you cannot get the answer, you can query it so that it assists you to give you the answer. So those are the kinds of tools that we're saying we need to capacitate them so that they are able to assist the farmer on the ground. So, in short, we are saying, Chair, we are acknowledging there is a problem, and we are trying to put a plan, but we need also to be assisted and be able to come up with a final solution in dealing with that. We of late have a challenge, specifically when we're dealing with rural development. The current extension officers are also earmarked to deal with issues of rural development because the provinces are agriculture and rural development, and they are using the current extension officers also to implement issues of rural development, which does not require technical expertise as you require for agriculture, but that time and the budget that they are utilizing is dedicated for agriculture, but currently it's being implemented for rural development. It means there is also a fight for the time that they are having available also to do rural development activities. So those are the things that I would say. I think Doc will add on this.
Thank you, Mr. Tabete. My apologies for coming late, Chair and honourable members. I think one other issue in addition to what Mr. Tabete has just said is that currently the two things which we are doing in terms of the review of the colleges, and which will also assist in the review of the curricula.
So can I all see her from where you are seated? This place is very funny. Pillar. I'm told you are the architect here.
No.
Okay, I'm sure we can see her now.
Okay. I would just say that there are two things. I think the department also is involved with the review of the colleges, and the intention is also to look into the curricula. And the discussions are ongoing with the Department of Education to look into the curricula. I think Mr. Tabete covered a lot in terms of the challenges, in terms of the training of extension officers. But also, I think also in the country we have to, it's true that what Mr. Tanet is saying, that look into how we view the station officers. We've got other people, like for instance animal health technicians, plant pathologists, plant health officers, who also can play a role for extension. The biggest challenge, which Mr. Tabete indicated earlier on, that extension officers are only trained for 2 years, and you find that they don't have adequate skills, particularly technical skills. I think the intention is also to complement them with the other technicians who are there, like the plant health officers and the animal health technicians, in terms of for livestock. But I think the more emphasis needs to be made with regard to training them more in terms of them specializing into different commodities. And I take that the review of the colleges will also cover that. Thank you, Chair.
Why don't we adopt an approach, members, that says the interest that we have should talk more to work done than plans and dreams. Because we can be here for the whole day if we are going to listen to plans and dreams. Now, we shall indeed have to get those plans and dreams. But for now, of interest to us must be about work done. Progress on retraining of extension officers and expanding to forestry and fisheries, this is progress. Yes, there are plans which shall be, you know, submitted by when. Type of a process that you must follow. Are we okay with that?
Yeah. Well done. I would like to ask a question. When I look at this progress, you know, soft skills, 1,500 so many, technical skills so much, and so forth. Now what I would have thought, which one could report back, is if here, and it's in a way it's a question, have we divided the country up under the provinces and regions, in pieces and blocks, you know, in any logical or rational manner? Have we assigned to each area extension officers? In other words, say there's an area, we need 5 in that area. Now, this area would have been, you know, defined, you know, maize or cattle or, you know, mixed farming, crops, cash crops. Have we divided it up? Because if we haven't, we've done nothing. That's the logic behind it. And have we put people in there? Could we say that we have in areas understaffing of, say, 50%, 25%, some areas are not at all? Then we can see this is the progress that we're making, but we must have a plan on the ground. So did we divide it up? Did we assign? And did we say we are short here? Because if we say we covered in the numbers, that's one step forward. If we're not covered in the skills, then we can go one further and say, have we pulled in retired farmers, BSc graduates, because BSc doesn't come easy, you know. I mean, I did BSc for 1 year and I said, no, it's too hard work. I'm going to move into another direction. So it doesn't come easy, you know. So did we say build up teams, say, under, say, a BSc guy? Or did we assign, you know, did we plot it out and say, here's a thin on the ground and there's a thick on the ground? You know, if you follow me. So this is progress. We can't say we have soft skills so many, technical so many, it depends on where, you know. So, okay, thank you.
I think the point is very relevant to an extent, you know. I'm literally reminded here now, seated. You're talking about retired farmers. You know, in Zimbabwe, told even in Libya and in many other countries north of Africa, they're making serious use of our own farmers here. And yet, again, the matter that we're dealing with here talks very much to extension officers. it's a straightforward. And again, point raised by Mr. Tutoi. How do you, where are those 1,228 trained on soft skills located in the country? Where are those technical skills as we speak?
Thank you, Chair. On the issues of progress on work done, I think we will have to go back and collate the information in that regard, because what we had done, we had allocated the budget to the province through the DORA grant, so that money is accounted there, and we do the monitoring and the reporting on it. So these numbers come to us on a quarterly basis to say we have registered so many. So many have successfully completed, so many are still on course. So we collect that information. Maybe what we'll need to do is to rephrase the reporting that they give to us, to say, in fact, the work, the progress of the work done should not only give us the numbers that are happening. We also need to look at the action on the ground. Is there any change that is happening? What is it that they are doing? I think we can begin to work that in, which is going to become a very difficult to prove, because sometimes they can give us in writing, but if you go there and you check exactly if those things have happened, which becomes part of our monitoring and evaluation, so that we go on the ground and check if these things are really happening. So those are the things that, Chair, I will add and say we may need to step up. But still, as a country, we may need to... We had an extension in Durban where we called all the extension officers. We called the private sector. We called the farmer organization. And we said, what is the way forward on the extension? Because we have to take a decision on the way forward, how we're going to deal with it. And whilst we are pondering on that, we cannot sit back and say we're still thinking. There must be a thing that we're doing to improve on it. We might need to take a drastic measure on that for us to be able to move forward for the extension service in the country.
Can I just have a last word on this?
Let me just again, and I think my colleague has also stressed the point. First of all, just this first comment. I think we had structures in the past that worked. It was dismantled. I don't know if Mr. Tavet has never heard of the agricultural development corporations. That was one section of a privatized situation which worked as an extension and service provider of institution. The other was and also semi-privatized under the carpenters. But my big problem is at the moment, and let me tell you what is happening on the ground. The numbers is confusing us, because, I mean, you can have as many numbers on the ground as you want. If they don't work, you've got nothing. That is the problem. We've got experience on the ground. Let me just give you some examples. Grain South Africa has only got about 4 or 5 extension offices in the whole of the country. We had one extension officer from Grain South Africa in Mpumalanga. He was stationed in Nelspruit, but he worked right from Don Donald in the Elukwatini, Pietersdorp area, right around. The experience that he got and that we got through him is such a situation that the local extension officers are sitting in the offices in those areas, but they do nothing to the farmers. This guy has to come around, he has to help them to get tractors, organized, you have the land plowed, you have fertilizer put in, you have to organize for seed and everything. This one extension offered from Grain South Africa. I can tell you the similar situations from the Wool Growers Association. The successes that they have with experienced people is tremendous. It's tremendous. But we do not try to get hold of that model. And I think that is what we need. We need to come back to the commodity groups and say, what models are working on the ground? So that, because they, what Mr. Dutoit has referred to, get the skills that is required in certain areas, organized under a certain system of reporting and management. If there is no reporting and management, that is why my question was there. There is going to happen, nothing on the ground is happening. And I think that is the problem with that we're sitting with. It is practical issues that we are sitting at the top here, thinking about it, theorizing about it, but it's not in practice working. And that is my problem. And I think if we want to have a workshop on this, I've also spoken of many times on a provincial level to these workshops in the extensions to tell them from the farmer side, from organized agriculture side, from whoever side, which we can contribute issues to make it work. And that is the way that we want to go. I think if we need some more information on that, let us again try and get the people around us a table that knows how it works, and let us thrash out a system that can really contribute to success in South Africa.
Do you want to quickly respond to that?
Yeah, very quickly. What we have done with a couple of the private sector institutions like Sugar and Yogurt, we have started the program of seconding extension officers to those institutions. We have signed an agreement currently with the Wool Growers Association, and we are looking forward to signing these agreements. We are seconding some of these extension officers to work with them, and this has proved to be doing very well in those areas where that has happened, and that assists also with the mentorship program for the extension officers. But we are also extending this. We want to extend this also to the growers association, so that we begin also to do pilots in a number of areas of seconding extension officers, working with them, improving their capacity, improving their confidence in a number of areas, and so on. So maybe what we may need to do, those areas where we had seconded these people over a year or two now, is to pull up reports and find out how is it assisting them, and how is this improving on that particular situation. We are aware of the commodity groups model. What we will need to do is after we have done all these pilots, we have to strike and agree what is the model on the ground. We've received a number of models from different institutions and from a number of professors in this field, saying each one saying this is the best model, this, that, and that, and that, and that. So we have got a couple of these models, but we have to finally agree on the best model for our situation and to be able to deal with that. I think that we've also tried to chair linking the extension officers to the farmers through the use of the Green Book. We currently have a challenge with the Green Book because we have to translate now the Green Book for the farmers to be able to understand what to do and what not to do. We were also thinking of the smart pen for the monitoring purposes. Those were the things that we are thinking to pull in so that we can improve the delivery of the extension officers while chair we are talking and finalizing what will be the best model for the country. Thank you.
Members, can we then move... what is clear, Mr. Tabet, is that value of you know, making or breaking the sector. to a point where you have to make a serious call. I hear you on the three options and what the University of Pretoria has to do, granted, but at the back of the mind, I think it must be born there that here you're dealing with a very serious area of work that needs to be given its importance. I'm sure you have your own experiences. You have a number of programs that are supposed to be running smoothly. And I mean, when we spoke about CASP the other day, and again, I asked a simple question. Supporting these emerging farmers until when? When are they graduating? You have your own program on post-settlement support. And again, if you don't have any pre-settlement support, you're going to have a serious problem, serious failures. We have also been asking, I don't know whether it is here, for a comprehensive scenario of failed projects like Pilgrim Corn. We never got that. And again, it shouldn't really be a matter of whether we're getting that or not. I'm sure you can bring, you know, big files and say, here is a list. If you want to fool us, I'm sure you don't want to fool us. You want to work with us in really getting going with what we want to do in this process. Okay, members, I think let's move on to the other date, which is 23rd of February. And again, the point raised is that let's not get more of dreams and plans. Let's get more of work done. So that's the intention. This is February. We are now in November. These issues are raised then. At best, what we're supposed to get, progress, not so much on plans. Any one taker on 23rd of February? Just to shoot from one experience that I had. Here is one farmer. Here is one farmer that is involved in dairy farming. And the cattle, literally in the process, also got burnt and destroyed. Not all of them, but that affected the bottom line in terms of repayments towards the land bank. And the farmer was almost on the verge of being taken away by land bank had it not been intervention. In other words, how many others that have gone through such a process that did not have a lulu who was readily there for that one single farmer, that did not have a Luri or a Dudoy or a Mamanyalo and so on and so forth. The plan and those fire management issues, on one hand, you talk about awareness and assisting with the preparation of for fire assistance. On the other hand, you're talking about matters related to it really came to my mind, you know, insurance issues. I know for a fact that some of the farmers, they were complaining that, you know, these insurances are quite, you know, steep. Yeah. You want to take?
Chair, I think it what you're saying is absolutely true, but that actually falls under another section which we have spoken about. I can't remember when, but it boils down to the disaster risk management system, which is not properly in place at the moment. And I think we have seen and we've heard every time when I speak in Parliament also, our budget is not allocated sufficiently. We haven't got, or actually we haven't finalized in the investigation into a national insurance scheme for disasters, which I think is internationally the most popular one. South Africa, for one or other reason, I've been trying to push this for many, many years, when even with previous ministers from Toka the Visa span. But I think this is still lacking, and I think what you're referring to is that once a small farmer gets hurt by a disaster, he's completely vulnerable. I mean, he cannot survive. And I think there must be a system in place which can immediately come into operation, whether it is with floods or disaster, with veld fires or whatever the case may be. And if that is not in place in South Africa, and I think that is one of the reasons why we are always trying to sort of working at the back of us. If something happens, then we're not prepared for it. We are also ad hoc trying to cover up what has happened in the past. And I think we should really, again, ask that we should look at the disaster risk management situation. A lot of research has gone into this already. We had private sector funding to manage and mandate a research which was done, and a whole booklet was brought out on this subject. But we seem to not really try to implement this system.
Any further takers, Mama?
Dina just said that if this committee will be interested on the West Bank now, I just don't understand yet what is it that she said to you. These are the ministers for the 23rd of February. 10 months down the line, the report is saying we will be focusing on training and ensure that the resources are available. What is it that has been done for this period of 10 months? Thank you.
Okay, let's
thank you, Chair. With regard to the challenge on fighting felt fires, we had agreed that we were going to develop and implement a plan on revitalizing a number of the fire associations in the country because they are very key in assisting in this process. And what has happened also together with the municipalities, there was the establishment of disaster management units at the level of municipalities, so that the response on any related issue, it may be fire, it may be any kind of a disaster that could come, the people can be assisted immediately on the ground. We currently having a logistic challenge because currently, when we have a disaster, like say an agricultural related disaster, you'll only be able to respond, if you are lucky, 6 months down the line. You cannot a time if there was a drought and you need to assist in provision of fodder, by the time the allocation comes for you to buy the fodder, the grass is green. And the process prescribed that you have to follow doesn't allow you to respond at the level of whether it's a fire or a disaster and so on. So those were the reasons that we then went up to the level of a municipality and we say we have to put up these units. And these units have been put up, they have plans. And our job was to make sure that in those plans, agriculture-related activities are placed on those plans. They may not be a priority, but they need to be registered in those plans. We haven't as yet had plans at the provincial level, and we don't have plans at the national level to deal with these issues. Currently, the plans are being dealt with at municipal level. That is the response that I have. So, currently, in terms of responding to that, we then, in terms of the fire, we have our own units and teams on the working for fire that are being deployed, and they are working on this in terms where we have got challenges and so on. Those are the teams and plans that we've put in place to be able to respond. We haven't gone to the level, Chair, where you have an individual farmer that had a challenge. How do we deal with the situation? We wait for situation where there's a declaration, and then we are able to move in that particular area and assist. So that is how far we have gone in terms of the development and the implementation of the plan. It might not be to the details that the members are asking currently now, but the one that we had discussed in February is the one that we are saying we are implementing. Yes.
Are we fine with this feedback?
Just a follow-up question. The one he explained that maybe this disaster management is usually at the local level. I just want to check if ever you've got maybe are you helping the local with maybe a budget, or where are those local got the money if there is such a disaster? Or
Chair, we are not allocating them any budget. We normally if there is a challenge or a disaster in a particular province, they normally send us a report and we compile it, and we normally are the ones that goes to Treasury to make those funds available, which that is the process that is giving us a problem. We had put a couple of submissions and proposals requesting that this money must be sitting with us, but in any given instance, when you deal with disaster, you have to first make a presentation so that the money can be allocated to you and you are able to assist where possible. So we haven't allocated. All we have done till now is that as we receive those from the provinces, we then package them and present them and allocate those funds to the provinces. We are continuously, as each province presents to us, do that, and we allocate the budget to them for that particular process. We are aware of the process that sometimes after we've allocated the money to the province, it takes a long time before they disperse the money to the affected parties. So there is a couple of provinces we are currently trying to assist to improve on their process. Some of them are doing very well in terms of implementing in spending the money within the given period of the disaster, but some of them it takes very long for them to be able to spend the money. But we really do assist in sourcing the money and allocate them to the provinces.
Can I just comment on it? emphasize again, the research has been done. Previously, under Minister Toka Dadiza, extensive work was done to create a draft management system. Some of the bills and acts have already been promulgated. That is in fact on the table, but it's not implemented. The problem is, and I hear exactly what Mr. Tabeti is saying, and that is the problem. You know, in the past, let me just explain to just illustrate what is happening. We had huge fires at some stage 3-4 years ago when Toka Dadiza was the minister. Within 2 days, we had her there with a helicopter flying over those areas. And within 2-3 days after that, she has already had that whole area declared as a disaster risk area, and issues that has to be put into place. But then the problem starts. Then, because it goes from the municipalities, first of all, the municipalities hasn't got money. They've got maybe a few blankets, which we have allocated into to houses that have been burned down. But then it goes to the province. The province must draw up a plan. In practice, what happens is that there is not a strategy, but a whole area was investigated. The amount of damage that was done was then documented. Then it has to go to the national offices, and from there on, everything is taking years. It has to go to finance, as Mr. Tabeti is saying, and that is the reason why we've come up with this plan to solve this problem, so that money is available for the fodder the next day or within a week, so that people can survive, or in the end, if they have lost all their cattle, that they can be replaced. The only solution to that type of disaster is an insurance system, which internationally works very, very well. And we have gone through that whole process of investigating, discussing with the insurance companies, even how it should be reinsured internationally. And, you know, it amazes me that all these plans are on the table, but we are really muddling around the issue and we're not coming to solve the problems. And I think that is what we need. We need people that can say that this has been done in the previous parliaments. Let's take it forward, not start all over again and try and invent a wheel again, because it's been invented, and we know what to do. But, you know, we cannot get service delivery, and I really am amazed at the situation at the moment.
You see, that's the point I was trying to put across earlier on in my introduction on this particular issue. How do we best intervene in the interest of food security in the events of a disaster? I think that's the bottom line. I'm really keen to, and especially in light of work done before and the continuation of such, so that we really don't reinvent the wheel. I don't know whether you want to respond on any of these matters.
Normally comes available as quick
terms of the compensation. And we normally indicate to where we're transferring the money to say this is how the money we believe has to be spent in terms of the application and our investigation. But the bigger challenge is the disbursement of the money. That's where the challenge lies. The availability of the money works way much quicker, but the disbursement is the one that becomes a challenge. Because once you make it available to the province, then their systems kicks in. We don't do the national systems anymore. The provincial systems has to disburse the money to where it goes, and that's where you get the challenge and the delay.
Well, just on that matter, previously we contacted
with the provincial departments. I've been in charge of some of these distributions myself, and I know exactly how it works. There's no problem if the actions must just be taken. And I think that we've done the surveys, we've done the calculations of the damage. We came back with a whole strategy of how much to reimburse, and we've contracted with the department to reimburse the people. So it was as easy as that. But I think at the moment it's not being implemented like that. I don't know what the reason is for it, but the departments in the provinces they're not capacitated to reimburse. And we've seen the last couple of disasters, none of that money came to the ground. The people, I don't know what happened to the money. We were consulted. If I talk of we as the organized agriculture, we were consulted, but in the end the department decided to themselves distribute the money and nothing happened. We never knew, it was never reported to what happened to the money.
I'm actually quite amazed to think that we play rugby and soccer so well, and then we pass the ball from the forwards to the back line, and then the forwards go and sit in the middle of the field and have a cup of tea. I mean, that's going to be a loose scrum. We've got to follow up, you know. So I would suggest, I mean, I'm not into one of these, I don't know about the system, but I can just imagine in 5 minutes that if you give the money to a province and there's a disaster, it's not the whole country that's burning down at the same time. Just want to it's not the whole country is burning down at the same time, not in all provinces. There's a disaster, there's a flood in a certain area and in a certain province, maybe on the border of two provinces it's possible. But what I can imagine that you should do is have a task team of two or three people, competent people in the national department, that follow this ball through. That when you give the money, they drive it. They go to the province and say, right, we've got deadlines here. Here's the money. We have a meeting tomorrow. Let's drive it. Give me feedback. Give me this. Give me that. Somebody must be in control. You just can't kick the ball away because then you don't have a game. It's that integrating state. That is what you must do. If you have the money, it's Papa say, Papa pay. Papa who pay, he says. So if you give the money, you must drive the process. Follow through and get reaction, because you know it's logic to me. It's just so logical.
Do we have any plans? Maybe just for once we talk about plans and dreams. That talk to some insurance scheme within the department that talks directly to disaster management, over and above what we do have currently within what we have.
Yes, we do have plans in place. I think one can say contingency plans for drought, for fires, and also for in terms of floods. I think what Mr. Tabeta alluded to, the challenge is that provinces, the capacity, it differs from one province to the other. But I know that last year there was an agreement that when they have disasters, what we'll do is that they should be in a position to deploy people across the provinces, just like what we do in terms of disease control. So you find that some provinces are doing very well. I think the suggestion of following through the funding in terms of monetary I think that one can be established. I think that's the part which we have not been doing well on that one. But in terms of the capacity in provinces, it differs from one to the other.
The Pampajan has said what I wanted to say. That it seems you just allocate the money, then you don't have a monitoring. Because if there is a serious monitoring, I think even the provinces can take your mandate. And then I think if you can check what provinces are not acting accordingly, then you compare with other provinces. Why is this provinces are doing well? Why this one are not doing well? Then you can see where the problem lies. Thank you.
I just to ask you very briefly, what experiences do you have with the other non-performing provinces? With non-performing? And which are those
Yeah, Chair, we can mention the provinces. Maybe before I come to that, it is only now that we have a system for monitoring the provinces. In the past, we were not in a position to monitor the provinces. It was very difficult for us to go down there. Once you have passed the money, for you to follow it up and make sure that the money is being, other than asking for report, that's all that we could do. But the system now calls upon us, the monitoring and evaluation system calls upon us to go and monitor and follow the money, where it goes, and be able to account for it. So that's the difference that we have now. We are able to deal with that. In that manner, I think that will assist and improve on the system. Now that we are given that mandate, to be able to deal with that, but we have provinces that were given money 3 years ago on disaster that has not been spent to date. The only thing we do now is to recall the money back. Because it's still sitting there. We've got an example of the Northwest. The money up till now for 2008 disaster has not been spent.
But is it, that's the failing of the institution, not the model. That is the people that are failing us.
That is the problem that we're sitting as. It's not the system. It's the implementation and the people that are failing the system. Because surely if there was a disaster risk declared, there's a scheme declared, everything was in place, it must be executed.
Well, are you saying there were disasters in 2008 in Northwest? Then money was allocated, but never spent. And what is our role? And who is going to be deployed from here to join the department to see to it that those deserving farmers are assisted?
It again boils down to what I said earlier. My experience also over the last 2-3 years, there's really been a lack of execution.
I want us to act on it now.
Yeah. So what
among ourselves, as members of parliament, who is going to direct the department to those deserving farmers?
No, it's our duty to bring this under the attention of the department that we're not satisfied with the situation, and that we would like to have some explanation why it has not been done. I don't know at this stage what further we can do. We must have asked for an explanation. Why has that scheme not been implemented?
But what I want us to do, members, is that I want one or two from us to be transported by the department to go to the relevant stakeholders and be able to engage with the stakeholders respectively. Both in terms of the Northwest government and also in terms of the deserving farmers, so that there is a usage of that which belongs to those farmers. That's all what I want us to do. Then we'll come to the systems as time goes. Because for now, what we are hearing is that there is money that has been allocated but never used, to a point where you are at a point of having to recall that money. Now, I want us to get into a situation where that money is not taken back out of Northwest, but it identifies the respective farmers that are deserving, that then the money is made use of course, prudently.
Let me make a suggestion, Chair. I think we can have a multi-party discussion through the department, with the relevant provincial responsible ministry, so that we can avail ourselves of the circumstances that was happened. And I think if we do that, then we're doing oversight. I think that is actually our duty. So I'll propose that we try and do that.
My clarity is on whether the money was allocated to Northwest before the disaster happened or it was after. Is it routinely that the money goes to the provinces so that in cases of disaster there is something they act upon? Or the money only gets transferred to that particular province after a disaster has been reported?
Yeah, Chair, the money gets allocated after the disaster has been reported. We then release the money to the province for them to be able to spend it.
I thought you would also respond to us jointly with yourselves doing as part of our oversight.
Yeah, Chair, thank you very much. We will appreciate that assistance and support, because from our side we've reported to all the corners we could report. Reported to Treasury, because we have to account to Treasury on this money. We have to, if the money has not been spent, we have to say so to Treasury. The money has not been spent, and in some instances we don't even have the challenges why the money has not been spent. It's just because of systems.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. You want to have the last batch?
Question.
Okay, can we then agree, just before the question, that we'll certainly have to make that follow-up on this particular one, and then we'll have to sort ourselves out as to when and all the logistical issues concerned, to a point where it becomes a parliamentary, what you call, exercise.
I mentioned that the follow-through is important. Now, my question I ask myself is this. When you take a departmental decision to transfer the money for this disaster that's happened, what happens then? Does this stay an administrative departmental issue on the provincial level? Is there then involvement with the political head of the province, or the cabinet, or the minister? Does this position, right, does this usually help, or is it a block? In other words, does the political infusion or the person there, does that help it on, or is it a break on it? Because we've got departmental people and departmental people, national and provincial. And in between, you've got the political head of a province or cluster of heads. Now, to my mind, somehow those political people should enhance the process. They should be knowing what they're doing. They should be driving it. Now, that's why I said, who's following this through? You know, now, if you pass it on to the department, do you actually pass it on to a department that knows what they've got to do, they've got steps to take, and they report back to you? Or is it now you actually passed on to the politicians? Because that is what we have to look at, Chairperson. If it's a flaw in the system, department to department, is the problem with the national department and lack of follow through or mandate to follow through, or is it the problem in the provinces? And is it a political problem or a departmental problem? That's important for me, because I think that is the, I mean, you pass the ball, you know, the scrum off, you pass the ball, but your centers are useless. You know, what must you do?
It's just the wing that you're looking for.
Huh?
It's the wing that you're looking for.
Yes, you know, I played wing and center, I played all positions. I tell you one thing, the worst place on the field is a wing, because what you need on a rugby field, especially a cold day, is a tracksuit. You can't don't get the ball.
You also hear, Mr. Dutoya, dealing with an issue of oversight in the province itself. I'm just imagining here, in the province, you have heard disasters. And as members of provincial legislature, I suppose you'd be keen in following up on some of these things. I can imagine here that a message also had gotten through to the provincial legislature that says there is going to be an assistance in terms of disaster, a management fund, in assisting these farmers that had befallen upon them, all sorts of problems that now, as part of our work, we will literally have to liaise with the provincial legislature there in really getting to say, come, let's go to the ground. Where are the farmers that have been affected? What situation are they finding themselves in as we speak now? Whether they did settle their problems, what receipts do they have, those kinds of details. So that when money goes, it really goes to people who also shall have kept their books, because there's got to be accounting. You've got to talk to the treasury and say, yes, there was money spent and so on, here are the receipts, and here is a full account of whatever shall have happened in Northwest. Northwest is just one example, and it would really be prudent on us, you know, that we make follow-ups on some of this elsewhere in the country. We've just heard there was 50 million, if I'm not mistaken, in Western Cape along the southern coast. That was on disaster. You see, you're lucky in the Western Cape. You're lucky. You know, this ANC-led government loves, you know, GA-led, you know, provincial government.
Yeah, Chair, what we will do, we will give you a quick summary, maybe as far back as 2008, and say, this province, this is the money we gave them, and this is what they've spent, so that you have that quick synopsis per province. So that you see the capacity, how it varies from one province to the other. So we're going to do that. But in responding to the question, the money is an administrative operational process. It is not a political process. But because we release the money, the HOD of the province signs off and take accountability to spend the money. And then the process of the MINMEC, we had a system where we will put up a report of all the provinces to say in terms of CASP, in terms of drought relief in terms of that. This is how they are performing. And where are we having problems? And then the political process kicks in. Once we've declared to them to say this is the problem that we have with a particular province, and then that system kicks in and makes sure that the administrative goes there. Now, through the monitoring and evaluation, the MECs will take over the inspection in terms of the budgets that we allocate to them. So they are going to be responsible because it wasn't there before. So now
can I obstruct you, Mr. Tarleton? The unfortunate part about me is that I'm not a fan of bureaucratic red tapes. You shall have those to yourselves. All what you're going to do here, we're going to go there. We'll come across with all those stumbling blocks and hiccups and humps on the way. We'll deal with them as we move forward. Whether there is still to be an MEC being informed and, you know, min-max still coming and all of those things, I'm not going to be bothered by those. Of interest to me, at the end, in the shortest space of time, the deserving farmer must be assisted. That's what is of interest to me. The other related matters, I'm unfortunately, I'm not so much keen on them. I'm told, time and again, you know, rules and rules and rules and rules. I'm not a fan of all of those. Let's organize ourselves and inform you accordingly and go to Northwest. And then we'll also appreciate, you know, a whole breakdown of a number of other provincial situations. Are we okay with that, the members?
Yeah.
We're fine, thank you. Can we then pass, we shall be informed by, I love this exercise. This exercise also serves more as your, why do you throw me a love letter now? I'm a man. This exercise also, you know, is it different from your annual report? Not that different from your quarterly report. How I wish we could spend the whole day just on this exercise. It, in my view, it will really unravel a number of things and really get us and set us, you know, going. So that we really don't find ourselves, you know, hamstrung by all these other, you know, issues. Members, do we have any specific ones still on the 23rd of February? Progress on forensic audit on effective use of regular television program with sufficient viewer and numbers. If I'm not mistaken, this refers to Agri-TV, that is a flight at early morning, like 5:30. I'm complaining at the time, but you know, in the recent past, one has since gotten used to waking up at 5:30, you know, watching and listening. But still, it's not about me. You know, the kinds of programs that are flighted there, they get to be so useful that even those non-farming communities or non-farmers, to a point where you might even wish to attract so much interest. You know, you hear people talking from time to time, you know, having woken up early morning, they see you on TV and so on, they try to follow up. Now, there is so much interest, you know, that grows. How much more if this was to fly at during some peak time of sort, so that at the end of the day, you are able to get a lot more people, you have a lot more viewership. You were saying something here about some forensic audit issues, and then we mentioned here that this is a matter that needed to follow up. Okay, members? Okay, you want to quickly respond to that?
Thank you, Chair. Like we're saying, we got the message that we must have a re-look at the viewing process, and also the audience that you can catch at that particular time. There was an investigation that went through the process of the, because there was a contractual obligation into that, which an investigation went through to check how the whole process went through. So that process has been completed, and the report has now been handed over to the Minister for final decision. So that's what we can report on that. The investigation has been completed. And I think once that has been concluded, we can then go back to SABC and negotiate and bargain a slot that we can use for agricultural purposes. So it's a matter of getting out of where we are now and re-bargaining and agreeing on a new slot that we can use for this process. Thanks.
Any further issues still on the matter?
Any deadlines?
Chair, we don't want to commit on a deadline without the commitment of our communication experts. We will consult on them so that we are able to establish exactly when can we put a deadline on it, and then we'll be able to, but we can give it a priority to work on that.
I take it you're going to be talking to them sometime today or tomorrow, and then get back to us tomorrow as to when that deadline is. So we have a deadline of tomorrow. Are we okay with that one?
Yeah.
That tomorrow we shall get an indication as to by when shall we have a final word on progress on this particular matter we're dealing with here. Are we okay with that, members?
Yeah.
There are two things happening here. This maybe just to conclude on this 23rd. I don't remember much of this particular issue here. Progress on implementation of systems to monitor provincial performance. Anyone who has some recollection?
The idea was just that we get feedback from implementations. I think also Mr. Tabitha has just now referred to the provinces when issues are put down or referred to the provincial structures. Obviously, there must be some sort of a system of reporting back and monitoring that that gets executed. And I think that was I haven't read through all the issues, but I can remember we just wanted to know if there is a monitoring and evaluation and a line function.
Are we fine?
Yeah. One of the issues was possibly that we were worried at that time. You will remember that the application of the cash funds as well. From information from the ground, we got various feedback on the implementation and the spending of money, and some people are complaining that they're getting nothing, and in other instances it was spent unwisely, maybe, if I can put it softly, but we want to get a system going that we are really knowing what is going on with the money.
we are not comfortable with the system of allocating the money to the province and the province spending it. It makes it very difficult for us to account on it. So we had to put a one-stop shop proposal where the money, instead of sending it to the province, it goes to the land bank. And the provinces put up a proposal of what needs to be funded, and they get the money from the land bank. So that the accounting, because the land bank is able to account and report on money spent and the operational. The allocation for the provinces will still be done, but the money will not be taken through to them by DORA. It goes to the land bank, and the land bank manages the financing. So that's the proposal that we had put on the table to say, to improve on this, because currently, overall, by this time we are sitting at about 45% spending on CASP. And we are already, not 40, I think we are sitting at 30 something, but that needs to be confirmed. We are not near to where we should be in terms of spending the money. So that is our problem and our challenge. Treasury has already written to us saying they are not happy with the performance. And we cannot sit back every year and receive criticism on how we're spending the money without coming up with a proposal. So we have put up a proposal already. We have negotiated it with Treasury. We have consulted with the provinces. And if everybody concurs, that will be the process that we're going to implement. It will assist us and it will improve performance on the ground. Thanks.
You see the experience that you know, you certainly have, I'm sure you can also talk on this matter. Currently at 35, some of the percentage that is correct figure spent thus far. We are literally just, you know, way after, not way, it was just shortly after what's called midterm, October, now November. You certainly are likely going to have, you know, some fiscal dumping. That's where problem, you know, starts coming. To a point where you might wish to be very firm on monitoring, especially at this time, because it does have that potential that easily you could be finding people receiving all sorts of funding without being controversial here. You know, maybe Dr. Postman shall be having, you know, a farm having to be upgraded and maintained, you know, rent free, you know.
I wouldn't qualify.
Yeah, somebody qualified in one province. That must still come back here, that matter, you know.
Yeah.
You see, that's what we're talking about when we talk about, you know, these CASP funding being spent by provinces. We said this earlier on, that we need to dedicate, even if it means a one-day session, just on CASP. You have all these HODs or MECs, whichever way it goes. Here, so that if you're going to be hearing anything about from Elder, you know, so such monies were dispersed for, I mean, to this province, the province must come almost immediately without having to call or fax or email them. They shall be here talking, so that we hear more of your stories of Northern Cape being here. Okay, members, I think we should pass on this one. We are now certainly going to be moving so well, are literally on a Friday today. Wednesday granted, but effectively
more Friday.
Exactly. And everybody is literally watching his her own time. I wonder whether we shouldn't just take a quick 5-minute break, 10-minute break. There is food outside that is getting cold, and we're supposed to be taking lunch. As agreed that we should have some bite. And then I'm told the Startbook people are the outside. They must come in. Well, why don't we have lunch with them, Mama, and then immediately after 30 minutes we come back. Are we okay with all of that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. It's just back at 1:30. Thank you.
Just make your message.